1 p.m.
From the icy cold curves of Angeles Crest to the sunny shores of PCH, this is the Car Show, broadcasting this Saturday and every Saturday on KPFK.org and on KPFK FM 90.7 Los Angeles. We've been on the air for over 52 years. Thank goodness that is not continuously on the air. It's just 1 hour a week, but you get the idea. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn of AutoWeek.com. I am joined this week and every week by the greatest co-host in the world, a practicing attorney specializing in automotive law, our Orange County Bureau Chief, Motor Press Guild member, and owner of two Mazdas, Michelle Spencer. Welcome, Michelle.
Well, hey, Mark. Great to be here with you again on the Car Show to talk about our favorite subject.
Cars. And we're going to dive right into it. We have an upcoming event called Toyota Fest, and it's pretty obvious, I think, what that is. It's a festival of Toyotas, and we have one of the early attendees. He claims he's not the founder, but we'll ask him about that. He can tell us more. He is described by his peers. There's a word, there's a Japanese word for it, which means Toyota enthusiast, and it starts with an O. We can get into that. Robert New. Welcome, Robert, to the Car Show.
Thanks for having me. Kind of excited to talk about the show and get into some geeky conversations about some obscure Toyotas.
We can do as many rabbit holes as you want. We usually wind up going down all of them, and then the time's up, yep. And we haven't talked about really anything. So first of all, tell us what and when and where is Toyota Fest?
Okay, so Toyota Fest is, of course, as the name says, it's an event for all things Toyota. So it's not only a Toyota brand, it's also Scion, Lexus, those types of brands within the Toyota family are all welcome to the show itself. It's an annual show that we put at Long Beach, and it's at the Marina Green Park in Long Beach. It's actually the 29th year we've been doing this. So show has been going on for quite a long time. I could say maybe it's the world's largest only Toyota event, probably. I don't think I've seen any other event as big as
there's
this.
There's nothing in Japan? That's nothing in Japan? Like Toyota City doesn't have some big gathering?
I don't know about that, but okay. Let me
we'll,
just
we'll say we'll go with largest. It. We'll say it's the largest. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's been going on for a long, long time. Way back in the days, it was originally only for the older vehicles because the Toyota Club itself has been founded on the older generation vehicles, trying to keep them up and share parts and whatnot back in when the printed newsletter days were around, and things have changed and whatnot. And we opened up the show to newer vehicles, and that's when it kind of exploded. We outgrew the Queen Mary parking lot because there were just way more cars that were wanting to come and attend the show. So it's been going on for quite a long time, and it's been exciting to see all these new cars come, and of course the older ones too. So anything and everything Toyota is going to be in one spot.
How do you guys pick which cars get in and which don't? Because I imagine you have to turn away a number of cars, probably a few hundred, I would guess.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. There's I wouldn't want to call it a gating thing or anything like that, but we want to have the ability to kind of present the cars as they are and not necessarily what you want to say. People that are still working on their cars and it's not the presentable. And we want to showcase all things Toyota, clean, nice, pretty, so on and so forth. We only do this just because the amount of people that want to attend this show has been kind of going on and on pretty strong. There was 1 year that it sold out within a couple days, I believe. So wow. It was very, very surprising actually, but that's how strong the event has been going on. So
Marina Green Park there, right there on the front straight of the Grand Prix course. The back line. Edge of your where the fence is right where the Indy cars go blasting by. So you've got a pretty long stretch there to fill with cars. How many cars do you get in there? How many cars are we going to see on June 28th?
Yeah, with the registered cars, including special display vehicles, it's over 500 vehicles that would come. And it gets packed in certain places. Yeah, so quite excited.
Yeah, and I've enjoyed the thing I like about that show is just finding some weird little car that you never knew about or that somebody's kept alive, kept on life support or whatever. I think my favorite was the guy, I think he was a SpaceX engineer. He had a Toyota Publica, the really little car, and he put a Hayabusa engine in the back of it. That was very impressive feat of engineering. And you wouldn't think, like Toyota, we in America, we think of Toyotas as sensible family economy cars, but there really is a long history of fun cars from Toyota.
Well, not to mention Supras.
Supra, Japanese muscle car.
Yes. Yep. And how about race cars? Robert, do you have any race cars that come out?
Yeah, race cars show up too. Toyota brings some specialty race cars on occasion. We have independent people that bring in their cars. The ones that I really enjoy seeing are the rally cars, which is kind of unusual in the U.S. scene, but they drive in with a vehicle height higher with the knobby tires, all with the navigation devices on the passenger side. Very, very cool to see that kind of thing instead of the typical lowered vehicles with the shiny wheels and whatnot. Those are nice too, but I like to see the oddball stuff.
Is Toyota corporate going to be there?
Yes, Toyota corporate. They're always one of our largest sponsors and backers for the event. And they're going to be bringing some SEMA vehicles this year. So SEMA being a industry-only event, not being able to see these in the public on a typical basis, they're going to bring it over to the show, have it available to be presented so people could actually take a look at it, talk about them to the people there. It's very nice.
Are those the SEMA cars from previous SEMA shows, or will there be some world debuts here at Toyota Fest?
Typically, they don't have world debuts, but they will be bringing the most recent ones.
Yeah. Why go to Vegas? Go to Long Beach.
Yeah. It's a little bit closer for me, too.
And also, you guys, go ahead, Michelle.
Oh, do you show a car yourself or cars?
Yeah, I showed my car last year, and I couldn't show it the year before. I have a 1971 Toyota Corona Mark II two-door. And it's a red one, and it's originally an automatic, so I left it an automatic. But I have an 18RG engine in it, and I turbocharged it with old parts. So you open it up, it looks very, very vintage, period correct parts in there, water-cooled intercooler, all the obscure things that people don't understand. And I have the hood popped open. Most people kind of walk by and say, oh, interesting car. But the people that really know, they look into it and they're like, wow, that's what I enjoy.
Could you explain to people who might not be familiar with that model kind of what it is?
So Toyota Corona Mark II is the larger size of a Corona, which was the first, what you would call successful vehicle that Toyota launched in Japan or the U.S. And it was kind of tailored for the American market. It was the second car of the family. So you would have the big American land yachts, and then you would have the smaller import vehicle. And that was the start of it. It was too small, so they made a bigger one. And the Corona Mark II turned into the Cressida, which turned into kind of the Camry-ish vehicle and whatnot. So it's kind of the originator of it. And that's all. There's a significance of this vehicle in the Toyota lineup. And this is only for Japan, but people probably understand what a 2000 GT is, which is the very, very rare car. And then there's also one called the 1600 GT, which was actually a Toyota Corona with a twin cam engine in it. And those two vehicles are actually non-mass produced vehicles from Toyota's point of view. They were specialty cars. They were limited production, not a whole lot of them out there. And then the Corona Mark II came out with a GSS model, which was considered the first mass produced dual overhead cam engine car from Toyota. So
just one of the many that you'll see. Now, I assume you have an idea of some of the cool cars that are going to be at the show June 28th at Marina Green Park in Long Beach. Could you let us know a couple of the really interesting ones? I like the, do you say Hiace? The high van?
High Ace. Let me take a look at this list I have here.
Okay. Yeah. Anything that pops to mind that looks cool. There's always something neat there. There are old Corollas, Supras, as Michelle said.
There's a lot of Supras coming.
There's a Stout. One of your sponsors, Cabe Toyota, has that wonderful Toyota Stout pickup truck that people, that's not a very well-known looking truck, and it looks really nice every year they bring.
I like the Stout. It's a weird truck because it's got the curved front windshield. It's got the 50s vehicle vibe that, and it's a 60s car or truck, but it's a very rare truck. And Cabe did a
Did you see Drifter Ryan Turek Toyota Stout? That what did he put in that? He put some crazy engine. I can't remember what it was. It wasn't the Ferrari engine. He put that into a Toyota 86. But it was something cool. So what else? What else do you see on your list there that catches your eye?
Let's see. Sora. So something that's Japan spec vehicles. So some right hand drive cars that come. Those are kind of cool. So those are things that never was available in the U.S., but were very nice cars to have. Sentry. That's that. The high society, let's call it the government chauffeur vehicle. There's three of those that are flying to come. Some oddball stuff too, like a Previa. Somebody would come in and
I remember that.
Yes.
Previa.
That was fun. The Previa with the front mounted engine. So it's actually sort of a sports car minivan because it has the engine behind the front axle, and then it has those the drives that operate the peripherals out there under the hood, so you can access those. That's a very interesting, cool car. What else we have?
I like the Previa. Like you say, it is mid-engine
tractor.
Yeah, but the obscure thing about that thing was that shaft that goes all the way to the front of the engine to have the fan and the cooling elements and whatnot, and that was actually a disaster. Anyhow.
Somebody's bringing what?
A Mirai.
The Mirais. The hydrogen powered vehicles. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I had a Mirai for a year. It gave me a long term car. I'm sorry. What, Robert? What else do you have?
A Chaser is coming. Of course, Hachirokus, 4Runners, a lot of Supras from older ones to the newer ones, even the Mark Vs. Old school Corollas, Land Cruisers, a bunch of Land Cruisers. The things I like are actually the Starlet, Toyota Starlet. I don't know if you're familiar.
That's the front engine rear drive, and people don't give that thing the credit for its performance potential. Have you driven one?
Yeah, I have.
And is it a pretty sporty car?
They're very fun. They're actually very, very tossable. The wheelbase is very short. The car is very light. So it's a very, very good platform to actually work off of. And the Japanese guy, Tsuchiya Kenichi, the Drift King, if you will.
Yep.
That guy actually started out with a Starlet in the hills of Japan. So it's one of the notable cars that actually will do what you give it. And
I'm surprised that they haven't. I'm surprised they haven't taken off as a sort of collector cars, just given their basic configuration, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the sad part of it. It wasn't as fun in the US. First of all, you have these bumpers that look like benches in the park. And the emissions controls and everything just weighed down that vehicle. So the good part about the car that makes it light, nimble, fast was weighted down. And in Japan, you got a lot of these curvy roads that you could actually drive and have fun in, but US is just nothing but straight lines for the most part. And that's 1300 cc.
What's the name of the mountain that the kid delivered the tofu over in the anime series? Stumped the expert. Okay, we'll move on.
That's an animation thing. So
anime or whatever. Let's talk
about food trucks. Do you have food trucks that are coming to the event?
Yeah, food trucks will always be there. They're always bringing all kinds of cool food. So quite interesting things that you see. There's always lines there. So that's always the challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You could pick and choose whatever you want. And me, myself, I used to go out to those food trucks a lot when they had those parking lots with a bunch of food trucks. I kind of missed that. So during the event, I look at those and I'm like, wow, I'd like to try something. And then you see the line. It was like,
but you need more food. A lot of food.
Yeah.
Gotta keep those people fed. I mean, okay.
Where can people get tickets? How much are the tickets? What are the hours of the show?
The hours, let me give you some accurate information.
9 to 3, right?
Correct.
Because my recommendation is that people get there a little bit later. You don't have to get there and line up, because if you get there, try and get in at 9 when it opens, the line is half a mile long, and they have to scan everybody for weapons. And it just takes a while. Whereas if you show up a little bit later, you know, just waltz right in.
Yeah. At about 10 o'clock, it starts to settle down. I mean, like you said, there were times when it spanned all the way across the Marina Green Park, and it goes up the hill,
mm-hmm.
and then it went down. It was just a humongous line. And we've improved a lot of those logistics on the entrance too. So we had some challenges in the past because of, you know, city requirements and whatnot. So
this year it's going to be smoother getting in?
Yeah. It's been getting faster. So once it opens up, the pain is the waiting time. To me, I thought it
builds up. It's the same at JCCS too. It's just exactly the same setup.
If you get there at like 5 in the morning, though, the fences aren't all the way up and you can just walk in.
Oh, Mark.
You can't do that. We got 6 feet.
Where do people get tickets for this, and how much do they cost?
Tickets, you can go toyotaclub.org and get your tickets. It's $15, and then kids under 12 is free. So
okay,
all right.
Yep, it's a family-oriented event, and there's a lot of people pushing their little child seats and whatnot. So it's very nice.
Got to get them hooked early.
Get them hooked early. Yeah. Teach them how to change plugs and advance the timing and all that other stuff. Well, Robert New, thank you very much for coming and telling us about Toyota Fest. Again, folks, this is June 28th. So how many weeks away is that? Is that 3 or 4 weeks away? It's a while. It's at the end of the month of June. So don't go down there right now, because it's not happening. Don't go down tomorrow. Remember, June 28th, Toyota Fest at Marina Green Park in Long Beach, right by the front straightaway of the Long Beach Grand Prix. And you cannot park in the Long Beach Convention Center. There is a parking structure. Yeah. So get ready to walk a little bit to get here. You know, but that just sort of weeds out the week. So it's only the strong will be at this event. And it's worth going to. A lot of really cool Toyotas put on by the Toyota Owners and Restorers Club. And once again, we thank our buddy, our new friend, Robert New. And thank you for coming on, Robert. And we are now going to tag you and release you and send you off into cyberspace.
Good luck with the show, Robert.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Bye, Robert. Bye. Okay. Robert is gone, although he may still be listening. So don't say anything, you know, about what was the car?
Sounds like a great event. I hope I can go.
I'm surprised you haven't been there, because it is really cool. There's a lot to see there. And like I say, a Publica powered by a Hayabusa engine. you know, mm-hmm. that is the type of thing that you will want to see.
Yes.
Check out. So
100%.
All right. Now getting back to more current events, tomorrow at the Peterson is Dolce e Veloce. It's like, here's two ways to look at it. It's like Concorso Italiano up at Pebble, or it's like the Enzo Cruzin that they used to have there until they alienated the Ferrari Club, and the Ferrari Club went back to the Concorso Ferrari in Pasadena, which they had just a few weeks ago. So it's an Italian car show at the Peterson on Sunday, June 8th, which is tomorrow. They are also doing it on September 27th. But for now, think of it, bring your Italian car. I am going to fire up my Italian car.
Yay.
Pray to all the angels and saints that it gets all the way down to the Peterson with the ancient rock hard tires that it has. So if you want to see a 1961 Lancia Appia, possibly one in flames, go there to the Peterson on June 8th. It's really neat. Go to peterson.org/events/Dolce e Veloce 2025. And you can learn more about it there.
I wonder who the patron saint of old vintage Italian cars is. Maybe there's
Saint Jude.
Saint
patron Jude. Saint of lost causes. So if that's too far for you to go, or if you're if you want something on the west side, our buddy Johnny Lieberman is once again putting on Helms Bakery Cars and Coffee on Sunday, June 8th, which is tomorrow. The Helms Bakery Coffee and Cars and Coffee returns with one big change. Johnny promises, he says, we'll have coffee for sale before 8 a.m. So that's a big promise. As you know, if you grew up here in Southern California, as Michelle and I both did, there used to be Helms Bakery trucks cruising all over neighborhoods across Southern California, selling you donuts and bread and all kinds of things. They had that distinct whistle that brought everybody out of their houses and chatted away with a friendly Helms Bakery guy. This is being held at that location in Culver City. I think it's Helms Boulevard, so you can't miss it.
And every single time I ask if there's going to be bread available, and hopefully they will listen to me one of these days and have loaves of bread to buy.
It should be fun, easy to get to. And then next, not this weekend, but coming up, Michelle, take us to the Pasadena Police Department car show.
All right. Well, you know, the Toyota Fest, as Robert mentioned, is in its 29th year, which is pretty amazing. But did you know the Pasadena Police Department has its own car show that's in its 23rd year?
Yes.
So, yay. So that's happening on June 14th from 10 to 3 at 300 East Colorado Boulevard, of course. And if you have a car you want to show, which sounds like it would be a really fun show to get into, you can pre-register by do it today. and you will get a t-shirt and a dash plaque. It's free to the public. And you're supposed to, let's see, I'm looking to see how to register. It says to contact Officer Adrian Wolford for questions or additional details. Well, here's the phone number for Officer Wolford. 626-744-3871 to get your ride registered for the Pasadena Police Department car show on June 14th.
And where is that again?
300 East Colorado Boulevard.
Okay, that's right. That's Old Town, right?
Yeah. This will be such a fun thing to do. I always say this. When you go to a car show, you need to have breakfast or lunch afterwards, right? So there's all these wonderful places on Green Street, Colorado Boulevard to go and enjoy make your day out of it. And Pasadena is a wonderful city.
It is. Old Town's cool. Okay. And I looked up again the for the Helms Bakery Cars and Coffee, the address 3220 Helms Avenue, Los Angeles, California. And that is from 8 to 10 a.m.
Helms Avenue. All right. They have their own street.
That is it.
Cool.
So let's see. Let's get a couple of more in because we're over time on our calendar section here.
There's the Concours on Rodeo.
That's right. We're going to have the Concours on Rodeo is Sunday, June 15th. And next week, if everything goes right, he's a very busy guy. We're going to get Bruce Meyer in here, our old friend of the longtime friend of the car show. He's going to tell us more about that. But that is on Father's Day, Sunday, June 15th on Rodeo Drive, 30th anniversary of the Rodeo Drive Concours. I was there at the first one, man. I was covering it. That is going to be fun. Bruce will tell us more about that. On Saturday, June 17th, is the Women's Motorcycle Show at Auto Conduct in downtown Los Angeles. It's right where the 10 and the 5 sort of, there's a like a an interchange there, and it's sort of on the northwest corner of that. So as you're coming south on the 5, there's an exit that says Santa Fe, and you exit there, and you can see from the exit, you can see the event down there on your right. So go to the stop sign, make a right, make another right, and you will be there. That's the Women's Motorcycle Show, Saturday, June 17th, from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. at Auto Conduct. Let's, what else we got to get? Oh, yes, our buddy Carl Pulley. I saw our buddy Carl Pulley down at Honda, and he is really putting his heart and soul into these events. So, you know, please go to this just to make Carl happy. This is the Cars, Bikes, and Coffee on Saturday, June 21st at Honda headquarters in Torrance at 1919 Torrance Boulevard. They're really putting a lot into this. And they have a they call it the Heritage Center. It's a really cool museum. They have an Ayrton Senna McLaren that was powered by Honda right there in the lobby. They have an Indy car next to that. They have a huge selection of great old Hondas, cars, and motorcycles. They have a Honda Weed Whacker, a Honda water pump, all kinds of cool stuff in that little. But then Carl was telling me that the Cars, Bikes, and Coffee is the biggest in the world, as far as he can tell, with 2,500 people showing up. I've been to it. It's huge. You just wander around. You meet all kinds of really cool people.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. And then we are also going to have hopefully somebody from Electrify Expo, which is going to be at June 21st and 22nd at the end of Minor Street in San Pedro, California. It's on the dock by the harbor. It's never been. It used to be at Long Beach down there.
Yeah.
And the parking lot of the convention center and in the convention center. And instead they moved it to this new location. I don't know why, but almost any electric car, motorcycle, bicycle, skateboard, surfboard will be on display there. It's a lot of fun. It's only $20 to get in. It's open 10 to 5 on both days. Electrify Expo. We're going to talk about that more.
Fun fact. The first one in Southern California was held here in Irvine in our great park. And then they moved it to Long Beach.
There you go. Thank you, Michelle. Orange County Bureau Chief on her toes.
I was there.
You were there. Good for you. And then one more thing. Gene Winfield, Celebration of Life, June 28th at the Estrella Warbirds
Museum
in Paso Robles from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. That would be fun, no matter how you
love Gene. He was great. I only met him once, but he was a great guy.
I met him several times. He was always enthusiastic, happy to sign people's autographs, t-shirts, and anything.
I tried to get him to sign my boob, but he wouldn't do it.
I don't think we can say boob on the radio, Michelle.
Yeah, you can.
Left or right?
I was actually going for the right.
Is he right-handed or left-handed?
You know what? I think he's a lefty.
That was the problem there. That's why it didn't work out.
Uh-huh.
All right. We'll be back with further apologies to anybody offended by that throughout the show. All right. We're moving on to the news. On that note, we're moving on to the news. And let's start right out. I was today at the Peterson. And we should be like the, I don't know. We sound like the publicity arm of the Peterson Automotive Museum.
Right.
Believe me, we are not. They are not giving us anything. We're just appreciative of all those guys do. They have a new exhibit coming in, where the Lowrider exhibit was on the first floor is now a celebration of cars of the 80s and 90s. It is called Totally Awesome Cars and Culture of the 80s and 90s. Now, I lived through the 80s and 90s. I was, you know, an awake, a sentient being. And I don't know, man. I can't imagine it. If I didn't know, if I hadn't seen this, I would have thought, what? What is the, you know, the Taurus? I don't know. That's just
the Ford Taurus.
Yeah. I mean, what's going to be there? And yet I went in and I was actually quite pleasantly surprised, because you remember some cars that were there. Yeah, there are some groaners there. Some of the concept cars, Ford was spending a lot of money on concept cars in the 80s and 90s. And I've never really been a fan of those. The proportions, they looked, I don't know. They looked, a lot of them kind of like, anyway, let's not bash Ford, because Chrysler has some concept cars at the exhibit. Mm-hmm. The Copperhead, anybody remember that? They said it was supposed to be based on the Dodge Neon or something. Oh. I crawled underneath it when I was writing a story about it. And it was actually based on the Viper. So it was a shortened Viper. It was a really cool car and a great idea that they never made. There are, let's see, what else? A bunch of cool motorcycles. Oh. Too many to
How
name
about
some
here. Pontiacs? They must have had some Pontiacs.
They probably did. They probably did. But
and there were also some cool Mazdas in that. The RX-7s were in their big, big heyday in the 80s.
Yeah, I don't think that there are any those. But think about this. In the 80s and 90s, you had the McLaren F1, which many people still consider to be the greatest supercar ever made. You know, the center seat. And it was just quite something. That is there, front and center. There is a Vector that looks to be in great shape. Remember the Vector?
Sure. Yes.
That was, boy, they really struggled to keep that car going.
How about some Trans Ams?
Nope, no Trans Ams. There is a Lamborghini Countach.
Okay.
It was pretty cool. Nice white one with a big wing on the back. Didn't have the wing on the front, though. I would, you know, if you're going to put a wing on the back and slow it down, why not slow it down all the way and put, a wing on the front?
Okay, Mark. Okay.
That looked really cool. I'm still bitter because Road and Track at that time said the Countach would go 202 miles an hour. It never went 202 miles an hour. But this one is listed as going 155, and that was plenty fast for the wheels, for the tires that were available.
How about some Ferraris?
No, you would think there would be a Testarossa, right? There was no Testarossa there. So there are a few things that weren't there that maybe kind of could have been there. But you will like it. There are video games from that period, which are delightful in their, what would you say?
Arcade games, you mean?
Unsophistication.
Yes.
For the era. Oh. There is the Ivan Stewart off-road stadium race game, which I tried out. I put a little token in there, and that was fun. It was a lot of fun. So it really does, despite how, and in fact, a lot of the people, not a lot, some of the people, members of the board, when this idea was suggested to be part of the Peterson, they said, but there was nothing there. I don't want to have it. And once you look at what they've gathered together, you will be impressed by it. So
just a quick question on, do they have any 80s music playing while you're going through the exhibit?
Very interesting. 80s and 90s music. And they have so much of it that one of the curators was telling me that you could stay in that room for 3 days and never hear the same song twice.
Oh.
And it wasn't all terrible music. You know, they did do that Cher song, you know, Do You Believe in Life After Love? And as I did at the time when that song came out, I considered just killing myself right there so I wouldn't have to listen to the rest of it. But I persevered on behalf of the Car Show listeners. And
we thank you for that, Mark.
Stands for something. Anyway, but there was music that was good. Remember, New Wave was then.
Yes.
Eddie got big back in those days. There was good music. And so you will be entertained as you walk through there. If you want to get tickets or learn more about it, go to peterson.org. Peterson is spelled with all E's, no O's in Peterson. And another thing, while you're at it, I got to look at the new vault. Now, the vault is downstairs It costs a little bit more to get in there. But man, that thing is just, I think there were 300 cars down there. It went on and on forever. It used to just be an underground parking garage and they would store stuff down there. And then they realized, hey, we could charge more. People could go through there. And I was really floored at the quality, diversity of all the cars in there. And there's they have a little special section that had Formula One cars in it down there in the vault. That the Formula One cars are being taken out as we speak, and they're going to be replaced by BMWs. So there's going to be a special BMW exhibit there, all the great M cars. Oh, there was an M1, by the way, at the 80s and 90s exhibit. So
okay, well, that's good. I mean, I'm glad they had that. That's a good 80s, 90s car. Perfect.
It is. It is. So, yes. Should we go on, Michelle?
Sure. Let's move on. We have Minaret Vista reopening.
Have you ever been there?
No.
Okay. You know where Mammoth is, right?
Yes,
Mammoth.
Of course.
Okay. So you go up to Mammoth, State Route 203, and you go past the main lodge, and you just keep going up to sort of the, I guess it's the actual pass there, and the one where you have to pay extra or get on the shuttle bus or something to get down to Red Meadows. Instead, you turn right, and it's just a short drive, and you're up at what's called Minaret Vista, and you see this fantastic view of the minarets. That was not open until, June 3rd, it opened. Caltrans District 9, thank them, and it's the final District 9 highway to reopen from its winter closure. So here's my hot tip for you. If you're up there, and it's a warm summer night with no moon, go there at night, and you will see more stars than Carl Sagan can imagine. It's a very impressive sight. So there you go. That was awesome. And the road to Red's Meadow. I know this sounds like a road report, but I don't know. It's someplace to go. You got to go somewhere in your cool car, right? So the road beyond Vista Point to Red Meadow is still subject to the Red Meadow Road Reconstruction Project, meaning that for the most part throughout the summer, it's going to be open on weekends only. So check with the Forest Service website. That's fs.usda.gov. And then there's a bunch of slashes after that, but you can get to it.
Well, great road trip ideas, Mark.
I am full of them. Yes. And, let's see, what else? Have you ever, have you flown out of LAX lately, Michelle?
Not since 1990.
What? Oh, you have the John Wayne airport.
Yes, John Wayne is so great.
Well, LAX is getting a little bit better. Maybe it's not as great, but the new LAX Metro Transit Center opened on June 6th. Now, that doesn't mean that people mover thing that they've been building forever is open. That's not open yet. That opens next year. But at the transit center, it connects you to the Metro K and C lines, as well as a number of buses and airport shuttles. So in theory, you could get to the airport easier. Now, what I do at LAX a lot of times is I take the flyaway bus to Union Station, and then I get on a bus from there and ride home. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we're keeping you up to date here.
I was going to say, this is good that they're rolling this out because they need to get all the bugs worked out before the Olympics.
That's right. Olympics coming at 2020 and 2028. So you've got, three more years to figure this out.
And then the people mover, they'll want that installed a good amount of time before the Olympics to get the bugs rolled out of that too.
That's right. That's right. But this, you know, that is a public transportation project that I think makes sense. Unlike the, what's that rail service to San Francisco?
The bullet train. Yeah.
And as we speak, the funding for the bullet train is the federal funding is threatened with being cut off. And I think that can only be a good thing. You know, buy more buses or something. I don't know. There's a lot of, you can spend your billions on something other than that ridiculous.
In one of the world's greatest transportation boondoggles.
Oh, it is both boon and doggle. It boggles my mind how that it's been 17 years and they have, is there any track? No. And they're talking about, oh, by 2033, we're going to have this section between something like Bakersfield and Merced. It's like, why are we spending this money on that?
That's not going to help anyone.
No. Anyway.
My goodness.
Yes. So there'll be LAX will be a little bit better, a little bit easier to get to, or it should be easier now. Yes. It'll be even easier.
Indeed.
Later. All right. Do you want to talk about happiness?
I need a little happiness, Mark.
All right. Well, which cars make drivers happiest?
Oh, Miata. Yes. Of course.
Miatas? You would think. But the guys, Auto Trader UK did a poll. And well, it's not a poll. Okay. What they did, they used AI to examine photos, selfies taken of people with cars. Now, we're assuming they were their cars. They might be somebody else's cars. They took the selfie, and if the AI determines that that person was smiling, then they tabulated the results of this with 47,000 car selfies using AWS facial recognition software to analyze it and assess the smiles and expressions in the images to calculate an overall happiness score. So I don't know if this has any relevance at all, but guess what was the happiest car? It was the smart car.
Oh gosh.
Does that not make you want to just shout, scream, stick your head out the window and yodel? No, it was the smart car.
Teeny little things that they don't even sell anymore.
They stopped selling it in the United States in 2019, but apparently they're still selling them in Europe, baby.
So, okay. Well, somebody at the Paris Auto Speedway uses a smart car for a push car to start their sprint car, which is brilliant.
A good car for the double deckers.
You could be really fun for a double decker.
Yeah, why not?
So what else was it? No Miata even in the top five?
Well, that's interesting because what they did was they did the make. So they didn't do the model.
Oh.
They just did the make because I guess determining which car it was would be hard. It's easier to just say, oh, well, it's such and such. So the number two was Volkswagen, which makes sense, right? They have the GTI. Yeah,
that makes total sense to me.
Yeah. Number three, Cadillac. I do not know. How many people in the UK have Cadillacs, first of all?
Right.
And of those, what percentage are young enough to take a selfie? I don't know. Maybe it's the CT4V or something, CTV.
Yeah, maybe.
Those are pretty fun. Number four was Audi. Number five, Toyota. Number six, Subaru. Then Jeep, Bentley, Volvo, Tesla, Land Rover. Porsche was number 12. So, and its score was just under 50%.
All right. AI, you're fired. Okay.
It was pretty ridiculous. Let me see. What else? Oh, Lamborghini was number 21 behind Fiat.
What? Fiat beat out Lamborghini.
Yeah. It's,
again,
it is what we call a controversial result.
Yeah.
So.
Crazy Europeans and their AI.
Yeah, it's a darn Europeans. Okay, so you want to do a couple of reviews. Did you drive anything, Michelle?
I didn't, but I had some really good news this week on Leno's Law that I have a real brief update on. It was supposed to have some controversy and a little bit of changing in the Senate, and it didn't. It flew through, no edits, only three senators voted against it. And so now it's on its way to the assembly. And if you would like to see this thing passed, you should get in touch with your legislative assembly person. I know for here in Irvine, I have Senator Connie, and I am going to be bugging her.
She might get on the show, right? You might get her on our show.
Oh, I wanted to get on the show the actual sponsor of the bill, who's Senator Shannon Grove from Bakersfield.
Okay.
Yeah. So
now this bill, Michelle, is it exempts cars, what, 30 years and older from an annual smog check. Is that correct?
I believe it's 25 years.
Okay. Yeah.
35 years.
35 years. This shouldn't be smog checked anyway. There's like 11 of those cars in the state. They shouldn't be smog checked. So shall we go on the record as saying we support Leno's law?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, right. It does have to be insured as a collector's car.
Yep.
It has to be, which requires garaging for most insurance policies. And one of the controversial terms is that it has to have a historical vehicle license plate. But it's being tossed around that that could get changed in the assembly to be just where it's a sticker, like there are for some other types of vehicles. So you don't have to, because you don't want to surrender your blue and yellow license plate or your brown and yellow vintage license plate. Right. You don't want to have to get another license plate.
Hey, the Lancia Appia still has the black and gold plate, the original.
There you go. So you could probably, if this works, if Leno's Law works and they change that up where you don't have to have a new license plate to be in compliance and get that exemption, you know, hopefully you can just get a sticker.
Okay. Yes, I agree.
And I will keep you apprised as to what happens, but it's looking really good. There's other laws that are tried to get through and they have all failed. And this one seems to have a lot of legs.
Good. Yay.
So I didn't have any reviews this week, but you did, right?
I have a couple and we'll get to them quickly because we only have
12 minutes.
Oh, we have 12 minutes. That's a lot of time. Okay. First thing is the Karma Rivero. Anybody remember the Karma Rivero?
Yes.
Yes. That's made down in, you know, their headquarters is
it's at Irvine.
Far from you. It's probably just down the road from you. And so they called me up and they said, hey, we want you to drive the Gen 3. And I said, sure, I'll drive the Gen 3 because I always thought that the original car, when it was called the Fisker Karma, it came out when Henrik Fisker still owned the company. And that design, obviously designed by Henrik himself, it looked really good. What was it? 2008, I think it came out. So not 20 years ago, but, you know, getting close to 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It's 17 years old. The design still holds up. The proportions, the low slung look of it, I think it looks great. They've done a couple of things to change it around. It's called the Gen 3, but it's not really different from the GS6, which was the one before that. And then I think the first one was just called the Rivero. And then before that was the Fisker Rivero. Prices start at $123,099. Now, it is a hybrid, a plug-in hybrid electric vehicle, basically. And what they are calling it is an EREV, which means electric range extension vehicle or something like extended vehicle. And it looks like a PHEV version of the Aston Martin Rapide to me, which is one of my favorite looks.
Yeah.
Anyway. And just to clarify, this company has nothing to do with Henrik Fisker anymore. It's long gone. It was purchased by a Chinese auto parts supplier from the bankruptcy of the original Fisker.
Right.
So it has nothing to do. So there's a lot of people giving hate because they, for some reason, don't like Henrik Fisker. And
well, I did get to go to their headquarters probably about 4 years ago. They remodeled and they put in a whole new production area and everything, and it was a wonderful evening. And I do see a lot of them around here in Irvine.
And they're good cars. I took it up to the Good Vibrations Breakfast Club, so I went all the way up Angeles Crest and all the way down, you know, all those curves. It wasn't a great sports sedan, but it's really not meant to be a great sports sedan. It wasn't soft and floppy like a grand touring car. It's based on the aluminum space frame, which I believe is carryover from the original. The body panels, they say, are all new, but you'll be hard pressed to, you know, if they were both parked next to each other, I think the body panels look very similar. The roof has glass laid on top of the aluminum because, as you'll recall, the original Fisker Rivero the original Fisker Karma had the option of one of those solar charging roofs that makes it,
right,
you know, a billionth of a watt.
Yeah. What are they saying, Mark, currently about this Gen 3 as far as its range?
Yeah. Okay. Up to 80 miles on electricity alone from a 28 kilowatt hour battery, which is all stored in a central tunnel between the seats. Now, 80 miles is enough for just about everybody to get wherever they need to go in a typical week. Now, if Carl were here, he would say, yeah, but you can't drive to Vegas. You shouldn't be driving to Vegas anyway. Okay, first of all. Secondly,
yeah, that's the big point.
And recharge it along the way. And thirdly, it's an EREV, so you just put gas in it and go.
There you go.
It addresses all the world's problems. Now, one problem that it might not address is cost, because the cost on this thing is $123,099. So that is a
right.
Let it go. That's before you load it up.
It's still cheaper than, say, a Lucid or some other, you know.
It's cheaper than some Lucid Airs, yes, but yes, not all of them. Now, when it first came out, when it was the Fisker Karma, it had a General Motors internal combustion engine with an exhaust that exited right behind the front wheel. And so you could hear this raspy sound from it. That was replaced by a BMW three-cylinder, the same one from the i8. And that is a lot smoother, a lot quieter. I had it Monday through Friday, and I was very happy, very happy with it. It is snug on the inside. I think a lot of American buyers want something with a lot of elbow room. It doesn't have a lot of elbow room, especially in the back seats, but I was more than happy with it. It has a system, total system output, 536 horsepower, 550 pound feet of torque. So, you know,
it's a four-person car, right? Four doors?
Yes, indeed. Four doors.
All right.
The curb weight is 5,043 pounds. Oh, it's so zero to 60 in 4.5 seconds. Top speed of 125 miles an hour. I think it's kind of cool. It looks neat, and the design has held up well. Fisker has publicly said that they have big plans for, the coming models. So in the next, if they all come through, I think there's four more models in the next 4 years. So
wow, that's
stick
cool.
Around and check.
I'll
it
look
out.
Around for prototypes.
And speaking of hybrids, now when you think of a hybrid, you think of a car, right? Kawasaki offers a hybrid motorcycle. Did you know that? Were you aware of that?
I had no idea. I didn't even know there was such a thing as a hybrid motorcycle.
There is indeed. They extend the wheelbase just a little bit. It's called the Kawasaki Ninja 7 Hybrid. And they're saying it's the world's first strong hybrid mass-produced motorcycle. So it combines a 451cc upright parallel twin with an electric motor. The internal combustion engine makes 44 pound-feet of torque. The electric motor is good for 12 horsepower. You combine them, and you get 68.5 horsepower at 10,500 RPM. My question, there's a couple things to think about here, and we have like 4.5 minutes to.
Yeah, we've got 4.5 minutes. Yep.
4.5 minutes to mull over this. We'll get into the specifics in a minute, but car makers seem to like hybrids more than pure EVs. Or at least car buyers seem to like that. I think the number of hybrids purchased are a lot more than the number of pure EVs. Right. Will that carry over to the motorcycle market? There are a couple of, yes?
It could. I mean, a lot of the reasons why, from what I understand, just anecdotally, is people love motorcycles because they get a lot of mileage. And if say like it doubles your ability, or you're stopping at the gas station one time less per month or something, that might be really interesting to motorcycle guys and girls.
Yeah. But it's not a plug-in hybrid, which is one thing that I thought was a bit of a drawback. I think even just having, you don't need to have level two. If you just had a regular level one, the ability to get that little battery going, you know, I don't know. I think that would extend its appeal.
There you go. Yes, because you'd never have to go to the gas station.
Yeah, you would never have to. You can't go very far in it on electricity alone. Let's see. I have the range down here. I think it's 9 miles on electricity alone. Now, the idea for this might have been, the thinking might have been that some cities in Europe are requiring that you have no emissions in the city center. And if that's the case, you know, you switch modes on this. You can switch the mode to pure electric mode, to hybrid mode, or sport mode, which really gets you going. Now, that would make sense to me, I would think. I don't know.
Right. From an emission standpoint, I mean, that makes total sense. So,
yeah, but there aren't any cities in the U.S. that prohibit you from driving through with a gasoline or diesel engine, right?
Right. And it sounds like there never will be.
Well, not for 4 years for sure. but Americans do not want to be told, you know, that you can't do anything. They want to do whatever they want to do.
Yes.
So telling them, you know,
don't make me wear a seatbelt. Remember that whole thing?
I was there for that. They're too constricting. Seatbelts are too constricting.
Yes. And same with the motorcycle helmets.
Yeah. Can't tell me to wear a helmet. Don't tread on me. You know, I would, why not make people wear like protective gear, gloves, a jacket with those CE elbow patches.
Yeah.
Why not make people wear a motorcycle airbag? Do I sound like big government? Am I intruding on your rights? Well, maybe, but, you know, my health insurance then doesn't have to pay for all the damages that you incur when you.
Yes, Archie Bunker. Now,
Archie Bunker. I'm being called Archie Bunker. Oh, great.
The reason why I love our show is because we can say these things and our audience will know exactly what we're talking about.
You think they're that old?
All right. Final thoughts on your Kawasaki.
Final thoughts. We have 1 minute to go. It's a complicated machine. There's a lot of buttons and switches, and you have to switch between modes. You have to shift manually unless you put it in the automatic shifting mode. There's a lot going on that I have not mastered yet. I just got the bike, so I've only ridden about 3 or 4 days. But I did try to ride it a lot on the freeway and everything else. So anyway, maybe I'll get back to you and give you an update.
How about pricing?
$12,000. Hang on. It's just over $12,000.
Okay.
Of course, I can't then see that.
Maybe you could take it to Newcomb's and do some of those.
$12,499. And that's all we have time for this week. We want to thank Wendell and Master Control. Stick around for Rhapsody in Black music that sounds great on your car radio. We want to thank Michelle Spencer for being here. And we want to thank you, the listeners, for tuning in, as you do every week, to The Car Show. We'll see you next week here on KPFK. Goodbye, folks.
Support comes from Wilgear Theatricum Botanicum, presenting outdoor repertory theater, events, and educational programs for all ages this June through October 2025. Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream is back, along with Much Ado About Nothing, Strife, The Seagull Malibu, Wine in the Wilderness, and a world premiere, Echoes of the New World. The Theatricum is located in the heart of Topanga Canyon, just off the 101 freeway. Explore and picnic in the gardens before the show. Further information is available at www.theatricum.com and kpfk.org.
Hey, this is Brad Friedman of the Bradcast, heard right here on KPFK, Mondays at 3 p.m. As you know, KPFK is corporate-free, listener-supported radio. But that means we need you to support our work and help drastically shorten our fund drives by joining the KPFK Sustainers Circle today. You can pledge $5, $10, $20, or any amount you like, automatically collected each month to help keep the Bradcast and all of the other KPFK shows on the air. please go to kpfk.org and click Make a Pledge to join the Sustainers Circle and help keep KPFK's important, independent voices on your public airwaves. That's kpfk.org. Please sign up now, and thanks.
It's the top of the hour, and you're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles, California. Radio powered by the people, for the people.
Hi, this is Halle Berry, and you're listening.